May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was thinking about these two verses again in a story I told somebody this morning that I remembered. This is from Romans chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. To the one who does not work, but believes, it is reckoned to him his faith as righteousness. God, his relationship with us is based on favor, on his favor. It's not about something that we earn or we achieve or we work for. God's blessings in our life is all about favor. And our favor is all ours in Christ. I was telling someone a story this morning on the phone about how we were just talking about how God moves and how God acts. One of the most significant figures in the 20th century was a man named John Wimber. He was from Southern California, Anaheim. And God used him to impact churches around the world. One of the most amazing manifestations of anointing in terms of healing and that kind of thing impacted people on every continent. Just extraordinary. And Wimber was a professor at Fuller and out the school out there, and he had his class that he did called Signs and Wonders. I forget the number to it, but so many people, really well-known ministers, encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time supernaturally by going to that class. But when Wimber first was coming into the things, charismatic things, he had a church, and it's a church. They met in a gymnasium of a school on Sundays. They had a couple of thousand people, and a lot of them were young people. And the Lord had instructed him that he wanted to teach him some things about healing. And so he wanted him to preach through the book of the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel of Luke's a pretty long gospel. There's a lot of healings and miracles in the Gospel of Luke. And so every week he'd preach about Luke, preach from Luke, and invite people to come down for healing. And many would come down. And they prayed for people. His staff would pray for people. Others would pray for people. And for 2 years, not one person got healed. Not only were they not getting healed, they were catching some of the things the people had they were praying for. And then there was one Sunday that he preached from Luke again. A lot of people came down. Nobody got healed. He and the staff got so frustrated, they went behind the curtain that separated the pulpit and just laid on the floor and wept before the Lord. And as he was driving home, he told the Lord, he said, "That's it. I'm not doing this anymore." He said, "I get embarrassed every week. Nothing happens. I'm done. I'm going to preach, but I'm not going to do this thing about going after this kind of stuff anymore." And so he went home, and he woke up the next morning, and a man called him. He was the father, a husband of a new young couple that had joined the church just recently. And he had been out of a job for months, and he got a new job, which was exciting. But his wife was really sick, running a high fever. She was beet red. And he was asking if Wimber could come over and pray, because he'd been hearing him teach about healing every day. Would he come over and pray for his wife to get healed, because he couldn't afford to stay home and take care of her? He'd lose the job he just got. It was his first day at work. So Wimber hung up the phone and went, "Oh, no." And he drove over there with no faith at all, walked in the door, and the father was there, and he had the little baby, and there was the mom laying in bed. Her hair was soaking wet, going everywhere. Her face was red. She was super sick. And he went and prayed this little prayer for her, and he said it just dribbled off of his lip because there was no faith whatsoever. And without even thinking, he just turned around and began to explain to the husband that God doesn't always heal, and we just have to trust him anyway. And then he's talking to the husband. He sees this look on his husband's face of shock and joy, turns around, and the wife is getting up. All the redness is gone. The fever's gone. She's making up the bed, and she was totally healed. So Wimber didn't want to act surprised because that wouldn't exactly help them in their faith. So he acted really cool about, Jesus is a healer, all that kind of stuff. Then he goes out and says goodbye and goes and gets in his car and starts screaming, going, "Yes, Lord, cha-ching, we finally got one." And so he's riding down I-5 in Southern California, and he has this open vision across across the sky. And he sees this giant honeycomb. It's just full. It's just pregnant with honey. So it's just dripping. And some people are running away from the honey. They don't want to get the honey. Others are running around their mouth and just receiving the honey. And so he pulled over and he said, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And he said, John, that honeycomb is, that's mercy. That's my mercy and my favor. And he said, there are going to be some people who will receive it, some people won't, but I don't ever want you beg me for favor again. He said, I just want you to receive my favor. It's theirs. That was a powerful word, and immediately they began to see manifestations of miracles and signs and wonders because they stopped begging God for favor. They just began to receive favor. This scripture from, I thought about this morning, this scripture from Philippians. See, as Christians are always trying to attain things from God. And they want God to bless. They want God to move. They want God to do stuff. And the Lord says, it's all about favor. It's grace. And the only thing you can either do with favor is believe and receive it or reject it. But you can't add anything to it. You can't beg me to get it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. And this is so simple that for so many Christians, it just goes right past them. Because they're just determined that there's got to be something that they do that earns his affection and earns his favor. But if you earn it, it can't be favor. And the way, the deal is again, Jesus earned it for us, and we're in him. So I love this scripture in verse 19 of Philippians 4. And my God shall supply, not could supply, not might supply. He says, my God shall supply all, not some, not most. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So you're in Christ Jesus. You're in union with him. And he doesn't say that my God shall supply all your needs out of his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If I meet somebody and I bless them out of my riches, I'm going to give them a portion of what I have. But if I bless them according to my riches, then the blessing can only be measured by all that I have. There's a difference. And so this verse covers everything because he uses the word all your needs. So whatever you're walking through, whatever it is, if you need grace, favor to be manifested as you pray for people, as you're ministering to people, as you're loving the unlovable, or if it's simply victory over temptation or the grace, the patience to deal with little children and puppies like at my house, and this, whatever it might be, whatever situation might come, he promises, God shall supply. That's a promise. And God's faithful. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's all about God being pregnant with grace and favor, and all he wants us to do is believe. And when we believe, then that which God desires and longs to do as favor is manifested. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.